I'm Tom Hoos from Earlton, New York, and I'm listening to WGXC Acra, New York.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear brand new music from Amy Rigby from Catskill, from Bobby Previtt from Columbia County, and we'll hear about a show that Columbia County's Elvis Perkins is up to soon, and we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after Jason Martin from Troy has finished singing this song, and then it's time for the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. On air, in air, waves controlled. Blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Turn out or tune in to two of the world's greatest percussionists performing in Catskill at the Avalon Lounge on October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Composers and percussionists Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt perform with a live web stream at wgxc.org. Turn out or tune in for Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Sunday, October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org. and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Sharon Du Asin is reporting for The Hill that the state of New York will require all new vehicles purchased beginning in 2035 to be zero-emission models, Governor Kathy Hochul announced September 29th. Quote, we're really putting our foot down on the accelerator and revving up our efforts to make sure we have this transition, not someday in the future, but on a specific date, a specific year, by the year 2035, unquote, Hochul said at a press conference in Westchester County. Hochul announced a series of new electric vehicle initiatives for the state and said that 35% of new cars will need to be zero emission by 2026, 68% by 2030. All new school buses purchased must be zero emission by 2027, with the entire fleet meeting those standards by 2035, the governor said. The State Department of Environmental Conservation will be expediting its regulatory process to implement related legislation signed by Hochul last year, which would allow the state to realize those goals. Under the state's Drive Clean rebate program, residents can qualify for up to a $2,000 rebate in all 62 counties. The state has already issued more than 78,000 rebates and spent more than $90 million on the programs, according to the governor. Hochul also announced that New York Power Authority just installed its 100th high-speed electric vehicle charger as part of the state's Evolve New York statewide charging network. Any battery-powered electric vehicle can charge at these stations in as little as 20 minutes. New York State will receive $175 million from the bipartisan infrastructure law's $5 billion allocation for EV charging networks. Read more about this story at thehill.com.
Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Republican congressional candidate Mark Molinaro is now opposing the United States sending military aid to Ukraine to fight off the invasion from Russia. Molinaro said, and I quote, I believe that as a country, we have met our financial obligation to support Ukraine resistance, end quote. Russia invaded Ukraine in February without provocation and is accused of many human rights violations. Since the invasion, Finland and Sweden have moved to join the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, as fears of Russia invading other countries have spread. The United States sent Ukraine approximately $15.2 billion in military aid since President Joe Biden took office. Molinaro said, and I quote, I think the president ought to marshal freedom-loving democratic societies around the world to more aggressively isolate, freeze, and make abundantly clear to Vladimir Putin that he is a criminal, is a tyrant, and America and democracies around the world do not accept his incursion, his invasion, or his continued military efforts in Ukraine, end quote. The Republican candidate for the 19th Congressional District did not say how he would do that. Molinaro is running against Democrat Josh Riley for the new 19th Congressional District, with voting beginning October 29th and ending November 8th. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that less than 3 weeks after being sworn in, Democrat Pat Ryan passed his first bill in the U.S. House of Representatives on September 29th. Ryan's bill would give access to VA home loans to those National Guard and Reserve forces conducting active duty for training or in training pipelines for specialized areas. The Expanding Home Loans for Guard and Reservists Act passed 296 to 127, a rare bipartisan vote, and now heads to the U.S. Senate. The Veterans Health Care Benefits Improvement Act of 2020 left out National Guard service members and reservists conducting active duty for training or entering into a longer training pipeline, and this bill would close that loophole. Quote, there's some guardsmen and women who were and weren't eligible even though they were serving in the same battalion, in the same unit, in the same place. It shouldn't matter, unquote, said Ryan, who was elected in a special election for New York's 19th Congressional District after Democrat Antonio Delgado resigned to become lieutenant governor. Quote, this is really addressing that and righting that wrong, unquote. Ryan was sworn in September 13th and faces another election this fall, but he is running in the 18th Congressional District after the lines were redrawn. Quote, I feel tremendous pride I'm able to help the veterans on something so important, unquote, Ryan said. Quote, this is really important, especially given the intersection of rising home prices and veterans' homelessness, unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
The Art newspaper reports that Bard College is getting a $50 million endowment gift for Indigenous Studies at the Dutchess County School. the $25 million gift from the Gotcham Family Foundation and a matching commitment from George Soros and the Open Society Foundation will create a center for indigenous studies at Bard College, as well as create an appointment for an indigenous curatorial fellow at its Center for Curatorial Studies. The college is working with Forge Project, a Taconic-based organization focused on indigenous art and education. Candace Hopkins, the executive director of Forge Project, will be the inaugural fellow in Indigenous Art History and Curatorial Studies at Bard, teaching and leading archival acquisitions and curating a large exhibition on contemporary Native art. Hopkins said in a statement, and I quote, "This gift represents institutional change which has been building at Bard and is core to the vision of Forge Project. These lands are layered with histories that are inextricably bound to the displacement and forced removal of indigenous peoples, yet also rich with knowledge. This gift provides the basis for the future building of this knowledge to shift and expand disclosures across fields of study, whether it be in indigenous and American studies, art history, or curatorial practice. Critically, it also centers the needs of indigenous students, reducing barriers to higher education, and recognizes that students want to attend programs where they see their interest reflected," end quote. Bard College announced last week it has received $3.2 million to permanently endow the Keith Harding Fellowship in Art and Activism, an annual faculty position within the Center for Curatorial Studies graduate program and the undergraduate human rights program. The college said the endowment was made possible by a grant of $800,000 from the Keith Haring Foundation and matching funds from the Mary Louise Hessel Foundation and benefactor George Soros. And you can read more about this story in the Art newspaper.
Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that the world-famous dive team, Adventures with Purpose, a group dedicated to solving missing person cases, was in Greene County this week, hoping to provide information helpful to the family of Audrey Mae Heron. Quote, "Adventures with Purpose is in Catskill diving and searching for my mom," unquote, Sanja Ray Marie Elliott told the Facebook group, quote, "Missing Mother of Three Audrey Mae Turk Heron," unquote, on September 28th. The group travels nationwide and since its founding in 2019 has solved 24 missing person cases. The group provides its services free to families. Elliot posted to the Facebook group late on September 29th, quote, "Adventures with Purpose called me this afternoon and they have concluded their searches for my mom today. All bodies of water along my mom's known route home, as well as every possible alternate route home were looked at. Neither my mom nor her Jeep were found," unquote. Elliot continued, quote, "Please do not be sorry for us. We are feeling grateful. This is super helpful information because we can rule out the theory that she went off the side of the road accidentally on her way home from work. The current investigator on my mom's case is highly motivated to solve it, and I am hopeful that he will," unquote. Last month marked 20 years since Heron disappeared. Elliot Heron's oldest child was only 10 years old at the time. The Freehold mother of three was last seen driving west on State Route 23 in Catskill around 11 p.m. on August 29, 2002. A nurse, Heron, had just finished a shift at the former Greene County long-term care in Jefferson Heights. She was reported missing by her family the next morning. Neither Heron nor her black 1994 Jeep Grand Cherokee have ever been found. Anyone with any information is urged to call State Police in Catskill at 518-622-8600. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
If you tune in to 91.5 FM this week, you may only hear static, as WRPI in Troy is off the air for maintenance. The RPI student-run station posted online September 28th that, and I quote, "Due to scheduled maintenance, we will be shutting the transmitter off every day from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., until Tuesday, October 4. As a result, there will be no broadcasting to 91.5 FM or the live stream between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. until Tuesday, October 4th," end quote. While RPI improves its transmitter, WGXC is getting a new transmitter to replace the one that the station started with, which is now almost 12 years old. WGXC will need to go off air briefly to move from the older transmitter to the new one, but that outage has yet to be scheduled.
Heather Bellow reports for the Berkshire Eagle that all Great Barrington police will be wearing body cameras by September 30th, with each officer assigned their own. The department is the first in Berkshire County to order the use of body cams, and with the full support of the police union. In the days ahead, officers will get used to the new technology and follow rules to protect the privacy of people who interact with police. Police Chief Paul Storti said, quote, "I think a lot of goodwill will come from it. It's going to help with our cases. When we go to court, we're going to have more evidence. Right now, we write reports based on observations out in the field," unquote. Storti said it will also help the department with officer training and in responding to citizen complaints against officers. Other area towns are also securing the funds to pay for the cameras. For Great Barrington and its 22 officers, the price tag was just under $59,000 for the cameras and 5 years of data storage. Sheffield and Stockbridge are next. Those departments have equipment on order. Pittsfield police do not yet have body cameras and are exploring policies governing their use. A number of people in the city called for the cameras after a city man was shot by police this year in what was later deemed to be a justified use of force following an investigation. All state police in Massachusetts have been equipped with the cameras since last year. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
New York's latest foliage report says there is a lot more color change this week. The report says, and I quote, "In the Catskills, Greene County observers reporting from the upper elevations of the town of Hunter and Windham predict up to 70% change this weekend and a mix of green, yellow, and red leaves of average brilliance. To the east in Catskill, spotters are expecting about 25% color change with the average shades of orange and red. Rensselaer County foliage spotters predict 15 to 30% transition in the western and southern portions of the county this weekend, while color change in the eastern and northern portions should range between 30 to 40%, offering some brilliant colors in the higher elevations. In Albany County, reports from Thatcher State Park in Voorheesville anticipate 20% change with red leaves of average brilliance, plus some orange and yellow. In Columbia County, reports from Hudson expect up to 25% change with yellow and orange leaves appearing," end quote.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, patchy fog before 8 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 63 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 44 degrees. And on Saturday, a chance of showers mainly after 5 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 62 degrees. And Saturday night, a chance of showers mainly before 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 48 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, September 30th, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. We've got brand new music from Catskills and we've got brand new music from Catskills' Amy Rigby. 10 a.m. it's time for the Global Agogo Show, with tracks this week from Getty Blah and Bole, Alcazar and Wesley. At noon, after the local news, Jared Wiggishute is live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street with the Sugar Shack Jukebox. 4 p.m., we're live from Acre with the WGXC Afternoon Show. At 6 p.m., we're live from Catskill with Clubhouse Radio with local teens playing their music and telling their stories. And then we hear from teens in Hudson at 7 p.m. with the Bound by Books Show, sponsored by the Hudson Area Library, and talking about all of what they've been reading the past week. 10 p.m., it's time to tune in some dancehall reggae with Shabba Ranks, Diani, and Andalites on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, October 22nd, come out to Wave Farm and view the installations. It's part of WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive. Noon to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 22nd, Wave Farm will welcome drop-in visitors for tours of the campus, including the WGXC Acre Studio and the many installations on the property that employ radio in some way. Also, community members and local nonprofit organizations can come by to record public service announcements to air on 90.7 FM, and members of the public can record a station ID for WGXC. Again, that's Wave Farm is open for visits on Saturday, October 22nd during the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive from noon to 6 p.m. Go to WGXC.org for more information, and we'll see you on Saturday, October 22nd at Wave Farm.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Oh, 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 radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wave Farm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, September 30th. And here is your fall foliage forecast. We have 70% change expected for the next week in the hills around Hunter and Windham. Woodstock down on the ground is expecting a 25% change, and so is the Hudson and Copaic area. However, being out there personally, I could say Copaic is starting to turn, and it might be even deeper than that. When you get back from checking out all those lovely leaves, the next thing to check out is your heating system. Sweaters aren't going to cut it forever. And with the way utility prices are expected to be this year, going after gaps, cracks, and anything else letting in drafts with caulk and paint and sealant is going to have a major financial impact. The sooner, the better. Okay, back to business. Local early morning temperatures range from 36 degrees in Ashland to 44 over in Rhinebeck. Didn't quite dip into the frost territory, but if anybody saw some, please let me know at weather@wgxe.org. The regional average soil temperature is 56 degrees. Today is going to be similar to yesterday. Lots of floating clouds and a high temperature of 62 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, we have a low of 46. That should be safely out of the frost zone. But then on Saturday, it is going to be pretty dreary. cloudy, chances of rain all day, and a high of only 59 degrees, happening at 3 p.m. Overnight, isolated rain chances linger as we watch the temperature fall to 50 degrees. Sunday, rain finishes by 9 a.m. and cloud cover will hamper the temperature rise, so we will see a high of only 58 degrees. Monday, still dry, little warmer, high of 60 degrees. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:53 a.m., high tide at 6:17 a.m., low tide at 12:50 p.m., high tide again at 6:46 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 64 degrees, and the current strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 6:27 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:47 a.m. Looking way up, we see the expected coronal mass ejection arrived, but was relatively weak and is not expected to cause any trouble. Can't say the same for the sun, as an active sunspot region rotates into view. Flare chances are up, 30% chance for M and 5% chance for X-class flares. Solar wind speed is currently 543 kilometers per second at 8.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible until dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 56. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephen Merritt of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland. Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
Now let's begin.
You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Don't worry if you can't follow everything that is said. Now repeat.
2022 new music from Paramore there. This is Why is the name of the song. All right, here is 2022 new music from US Girls or Us Girls, depending on how you want to pronounce it. The song is called So Typically Now on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
The impacts of this storm are historic, and the damage that was done has been historic, and this is just off initial assessments.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis predicted Thursday rebuilding from Hurricane Ian could take years. One of the strongest storms to ever hit the U.S. destroyed homes, businesses, and infrastructure on both of Florida's coasts, including two major bridges to barrier islands. Millions remained without power as forecasters warned of widespread catastrophic flooding across central Florida. President Joe Biden declared it a major disaster and warned of a substantial death toll. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer praised lawmakers for passing a temporary spending bill to avert a government shutdown.
Millions and millions of people can breathe easy knowing that we have done this in a timely way and the money to continue the government will be there.
The legislation extends government funding through mid-December. The bill includes more than $2 billion in emergency aid for Ukraine. Senator Carolyn Maloney of New York spoke about Republican efforts to pass a nationwide abortion ban before the House Oversight and Reform Committee, where doctors testified on the challenges abortion restrictions pose to health care.
They don't trust women to make the best decisions for themselves, for their families, for their health care, for their lives.
Republicans have introduced more than 50 bills to ban or restrict abortion care nationwide, including bills allowing for the prosecution of doctors. Meanwhile, Colette Peters, director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, testified on oversight of the agency before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
That behavior is egregious. It shall not be tolerated. When you are in our care and custody, you have every right to feel safe and to be safe.
A bipartisan bill introduced this week would require the Justice Department to create a system for complaints about prison conditions and evaluate documented sexual abuse and staff misconduct at federal prison facilities. Vice President Kamala Harris toured the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea.
And it's so close.
It's 50 meters away. That's North
right,
Korea
that's
at the wood line.
That's it.
Harris said the U.S. and South Korea are committed to a complete denuclearization of the region. North Korea conducted ballistic missile tests just before and after her visit. Several Republican-led states have filed a lawsuit to overturn President Biden's plan to cancel student debt for millions of borrowers. The lawsuit contends the policy will worsen inflation for those who do not benefit from the debt cancellation. And finally, former public defender Arianna Freeman became the first Black woman confirmed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We conclude our week on voter registration with the release of the 2022 Cost of Voting Index, an ongoing study of voting access around the country. Spoiler alert, states with vote-by-mail and automatic voter registration ranked highly, while states with out-of-date voting practices and recent anti-voter legislation finished dead last. The study follows multiple factors on voting access going back to 1996. For voter registration, rankings weigh state laws on the number of days prior to election a voter must be registered to be able to vote, a month before for 14 states, to election day registration for 23 states. Other negative factors include requiring more documents than federal guidelines to register, no online voter registration, or not allowing felons to register after incarceration. Positive factors include allowing 17-year-olds to pre-register and allowing same-day registration. States like Colorado got points for automatic voter registration, which helped it register 350,000 more voters since 2020, according to the New York Times. Top states for voter access include Oregon, Washington, Vermont, Hawaii, and Colorado. The most difficult states included Texas, Wisconsin, Arkansas, Mississippi, and New Hampshire. Not coincidentally, where some of the most draconian barriers to voting have been added since the 2020 election. A link to articles and a summary of the study are available at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Next, we hear from Catskill's Amy Rigby. She has a 2022 Bandcamp collection out called Cut and Run, which she calls a ragtag collection of covers and songs that might not make the cut for the proper album she's working on. Here is Foot of Pride from Catskill's Amy Rigby from Cut and Run.
I don't know, I wasn't there, I was visiting a friend in jail. They sang Danny Boy at the funeral in the Lord's Prayer, preaching to talk about Christ's betrayal. Like the earth just opened and swallowed him up, then he reached too high, tumbled back to the ground. What they say about being nice to the right people on the way up. Sooner or later you're gonna meet them coming down. Well, there ain't no going back, ain't no going back. When the foot of pride come down, ain't no going back. I had a brother named Paul, you can find him at the Cafe Royale. Where Miss Trixie plays and the reviews are mixed. On the borderline, says revenge is mine, but he drinks and drinks to be fixed. Spain.
On Sunday, October 9th, turn out or tune in to a performance of Elvis Perkins in Deerland at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Elvis Perkins in Deerland is Columbia County resident Elvis Perkins playing with Nicholas Kinsey, Brigham Brough, and Wyndham Garnett. They don't play too often out in the Hudson Valley, but they have played at the Newport Folk Festival and the Primavera Sound Festival. This is their first Hudson Valley appearance in a decade, with the Elvis Perkins in Deerland record and Doomsday EP coming out soon. So turn out or tune in. There'll be a live webcast at WGXC.org from 8 to 10 p.m. Sunday, October 9th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information. Next, here is Columbia County's Elvis Perkins with the song Sea Monkey from his 2020 album Creation Myths.
Of the to my love, but try not to wake your dead. Remember their names and their numbers, my love. They are losing interest quickly in your waking head.
From his 2022 solo electronic record, local drummer, percussionist, and jazz legend Bobby Previtt, that was Pioneer from his Dark Current album. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And we start each Renewable Weather Forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says the Caro Mart in Caro has a gallon of gas at $3.63. That's the lowest price. The air quality forecast is the same as on Thursday, a 22 in the good range. UV index is a 4 in the moderate range. The National Weather Service in Albany says it should be mostly sunny on Friday with a high of 60 and a low around 45. Saturday, there's a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 2 p.m., with cloudy skies, high of 56 and a low around 45. Sunday should be partly sunny with a high of 57 and a low around 38. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.